Hello, New Mexico. I'm Frank Haley. Welcome to Haley's Comets, our weekend get-together here on KKIM AM 1000 Christian Radio for New Mexico. Our guest on the program this weekend is a gentleman that I met recently. Back on the 1st of May, Joe Simons and I flew to Santa Fe with Ellis McMath and his daughter Brenda Boatman in a little four-place Cessna aircraft, a little bitty thing, and we flew up to the Capitol and flew over the Capitol and prayed for our legislators and our state and our country. Joe, that was quite a day, wasn't it?
Yeah, a little bouncy plane, but boy, what a great thing we did.
And the pictures, to have a shot of the state capitol, as a lot of people call it, the Merry Roundhouse, you know, from the air. Now, I know that you're an architect and you serve as a volunteer on the staff of Catalyst, a church over there in Rio Rancho. We're going to talk about all of that and your life. But, Joe, I don't know anything about you, so I'd like to know how you found Jesus. In reality, how did Christ find you?
Yeah. I met the Lord when I was age 30, so I was kind of fairly old. I wasn't saved when I was a kid, like some folks are.
So you weren't church going as a kid?
No, I wasn't. I had a grandmother on my dad's side I went to church with when I was a little kid, but no. It wasn't until I actually moved out here. I grew up in Kansas. I moved out here to New Mexico in 1993, and Before I met the Lord, I was an incredibly egotistical and prideful architect. They almost teach that to you in college. They will almost teach you that if you want to stand out as an architect, if you want to get notice, you need to promote yourself almost arrogantly to get above the crowd and to have somebody notice you. And I took that to heart. I was an egotistical, just thought I was the gift of architecture. And after I moved out here, I had a little notoriety designing some homes and getting in the parade of homes, and I began designing a home for a gentleman and his wife, whose name is Jerry and Becky Evans.
I know them.
He's at the time, he was an administrative pastor at First Baptist when they were downtown.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know that at the time when I was designing their house.
So how'd you meet him?
I actually met him because the house I designed in the subdivision they were building in won the Parade of Homes, so everybody in that subdivision wanted me to design their home.
I see, okay.
Yeah, and so I was pretty full of myself. I thought I was, oh yeah, you're lucky to know me type person. Little did I know at the time that Jerry would have such a, and his wife Becky would have such a major impact on my life over the years. This is a long time ago. This is back in 1994. And he and Becky, later they told me, had been praying for me for over a year. And one time he asked me out to lunch, and I went and picked him up down at First Baptist down there, and we went and had lunch. And at the end of the lunch, we were sitting there, and he asked me to shut off the car, and I did. And he asked me, he goes, well, do you know what's going to happen to you when you die? And didn't really have an answer for him. And that was how it started. We visited for a while, and I prayed to receive Christ there. I think it was March 30th, 1996, I believe it was. And
In the car.
In the parking lot of First Baptist downtown Albuquerque. That's right, right in my car. He invited me to church that next Sunday. I came. The next Sunday after that, I believe, is when he baptized me there at First Baptist. And my hair wasn't even dry yet, and they wanted me to get involved in the singles ministry. I was single at the time. And that was my first. So I was in ministry from day one. You know, I was in ministry from day one. I was involved in the singles ministry there. Then I met a person named Dan Lewis. You may know him as city councilor. Mm-hmm. This is when he was a younger man, and he was the youth pastor at First Baptist down there. And I got to know him, and he and I visited. He found out that I was an instructor in this martial arts school. And we had this demo team. I had a bunch of kids that I would take around, and we would demonstrate. And he said, hey, why don't you come down and demonstrate at one of our youth events?
At the church?
Yeah, there at the church. Yeah. And he goes, you could give your testimony and have this demo down there. And that was the first time that I experienced the endless possibilities of what God can do. And I learned through that 1 Peter 4:10, which has become my life verse, you know, and it says that we all know that each person can use whatever gifts he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in all its various forms. And all its various forms is what grabbed me. I was like, oh, so you don't have to be on a list of ministries. You can, anything God's gifted you with, you can use to serve him. That experience with Dan Lewis there led to me being involved in a church start that he did called, ended up being called Soul Rio Church. And I was there for years and years and with him. And when he stepped down as lead pastor is when I decided to go serve at Catalyst Church with Pastor Jerome Wade. I've known him forever and ever as well. But Dan and I are still really good friends. But those two men there had such an impact on God's work in my life. And from that time, from that very first testimony at a martial arts demonstration, that transition to eventually I started my own martial arts ministry.
Really?
And had it for 11 years, I did. It transitioned to found out that God had blessed me with a passion for music, and every instrument I've ever played, including singing, has been used to glorify God and to serve others in that way. And Simon's Architecture, the business that I have as an architect, uh-huh, has been used to that. And the result, you know, the result of being saved, as the years went by, you could look back and see, wow, things are really changing in my life. And it has actually transitioned to the point to where Simon's Architecture, its purpose statement, its vision statement, is that Simon's Architecture exists to make an impact in the construction industry by demonstrating integrity in relationships and building design, meaning that integrity is such a high value in my company, you know, to never lie, cheat, or steal. Well, we always say, well, we're not going to lie, cheat, or steal, but I don't work with anybody that lies, cheats, or steals. I mean, we really keep a high level of that integrity, and we work with a lot of churches, and churches enjoy that about me. They enjoy.
I mean, you're designing churches?
Yes, sir. We've done over 80 church projects over the years. Now, of course, that's not 80 church buildings. I don't turn anything away. If God leads me to a church up to work on their restrooms, I'll do it. If they want to add a porch, I'll do it. If it's a multi-million dollar building, I'll do it. And one of the most recent ones is the Noonday Center down there.
Did you design the new one?
I actually took a plan that was designed by Decker Perry Sabatini with their permission, and the board, we took that plan and we designed a building that met their budget. So Dale Decker is involved. He worked with them and developed that plan. Uh-huh. And I worked with a general contractor to get that in their budget, and I have a lot of connections with metal building suppliers, and we have a really interesting, it's not just a barn, it's a broken up building. You've got all different types of roof pitches.
Well, I've seen the design, the plans.
Sure.
It looks like a great facility. I mean, compared to the one they're in now, which is okay, but it's a lot better the layout. I like it.
Yeah, it's a really good functional plan that Dale come up with, and we were able to get a building wrapped around that plan to meet their budget, and it's going to look good right down there at 2nd Street and Prospect, which is near I-40.
I guess they've broken ground, haven't they?
They're putting up the steel right now.
Really?
They are. So that's a testimony of where God can take a prideful, egotistical man. You know, before I was saved, there were two categories of people. People who were above me, who I would ingratiate myself to, and there were people that were, I considered, below me that wouldn't further my career, and I didn't have much use for them. And I had no friends. I had nobody in the middle. And after being saved, I've got hundreds of friends that are in the middle, and I don't consider anybody above or below me. You know, everybody's God's children. So it took all those people that I had categorized, and it made us all on the same playing field. We all have the same chance to become saved. We all have the same chance to choose to serve God. And so it's a transformation over the years.
The ground is level at the cross.
Yes, sir.
I love to hear stories about how God takes somebody that has no idea about godly things, and in just a matter of years, you're in ministry and leading people to Christ. And what a great story, Joe. Well, now, your company, Simon's Architecture, How big is it? How many people do you have?
Well, I actually contract with all my consultants, with all the engineers and draftsmen. I contract with them. That keeps my overhead way down, so I can do these church projects for much less than say maybe another office that has, you know, a lot of bills and a lot big building and all of that. So I'm able to pass those savings on to the churches, and I'm able to do this work. I am not a nonprofit, although my wife might argue with you sometimes that I may be, but I certainly keep my fees lower in order to help out churches.
Well, you mentioned your wife. Tell us about your family and how did you meet your wife?
Oh, my beautiful wife, Bonnie. I met her in 2002. She had moved out from Dallas, lived out here a couple of years, and met her through some associations. I don't know, it was a setup or it was just a coincidence I met her. But I always tell her, almost cliche, I fell in love with her the first time I saw her. She's just so pretty and so nice. About a year later, we were married. I always joke that the first time she saw me play drums in a worship band was when she really gave me a hard look. She was like, "Oh well, he might be an interesting person, someone I want to get to know." This is a joke between she and I, but we were married a year later, and we were blessed with two children. My daughter Caitlin, who's now 10, and my son Joey, who is 8. And interestingly enough, they are twins 2 years apart. They're born on the same day, 2 years apart. And get this, Caitlin come a few weeks early, and my son came a week late. So figure that out. Their due dates were not the same date. They just happened to God decide, you know what, I'm just going to make kind of a cute thing with you, and they have the same birthday.
I have three granddaughters that all have the same birthday.
Wow.
Two of them are twins, and then the older, there's an 8-year-old, and then the twins are 6 years old, and they all have the same. So we just, and then their older sister, who is 13, they all have September birthdays, so we just have one big party every year.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
So that's a lot of fun.
Your wife is from Dallas? Is she a Texas gal?
She is.
She was
She was actually born there, and she's lived in East Texas. She's a Texas girl, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, tell me about Catalyst Church. I'm not familiar with that.
Sure. I've known Pastor Jerome Wade since, I believe, they started that church. They, years and years ago, I think 13, 14 years ago, they started that church. I've known him all this time, and I got to know him when they were getting ready to build their building on Northern, and stayed in touch with him off and on. And when Dan Lewis stepped down as a lead pastor at Soul Rio because he's getting involved in business and he wants to use his gifts in business to serve others and pastor that way, as well as the city council he pastors. He uses his integrity to make an impact there. I saw it as an opportunity to possibly move and grow. There was an opportunity there, and God really urged me to go visit this church, and just drove. Jerome and I just hit it off really well. He's a wonderful guy, very similar to Dan Lewis in their teaching style, and really like him. And they had me come up and audition, and I sang one Sunday, and they just loved me. They loved the heart of that servant heart, that 1 Peter 4:10, servant heart. Not trying to get a personal agenda, just show up and serve with whatever gifts God's given you. And they enjoyed that. So been there since the first of the year. And enjoying serving there. It's a wonderful church. It impacts a lot of people. And Pastor Jerome, he's very civic minded. I mean, that church is open to the city of Rio Rancho, and he's got a very similar heart, that servant giving heart.
Well, now you mentioned singing and then musical instruments. What instruments do you play?
Well, I started out playing drums. I played drums for 10 years and was learning guitar at the time and play acoustic guitar, end up playing lead electric guitar, playing bass guitar. Now I've been receiving some professional vocal training when I started worship leading. So now I lead with voice and guitar. I do a lot of singing now, and I am one of the worship leaders down there that leads out in song with them.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
A pencil pusher shows up to Albuquerque, and now he's a music minister.
only God can change a life like that. Isn't that true?
Isn't it great? Well, when do you have services at Catalyst?
They have an evening service on Thursday evenings for folks who would rather do an evening service or if they work on Sunday. And then they have three services on Sunday. They will be going to two services just for the summer. And then they'll pick up three services again in the fall. They do that so people, because so many people do things on, you know, on the weekends.
Yeah.
So I believe that they'll still have three services this Sunday. And then I believe the two services will be 9:30 and 11 o'clock through the summer. The Thursday evening service is at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, at the church.
At Catalyst Church on Northern Boulevard there in Rio Rancho.
Well, now, did you study architecture in high school?
Oh, you know, I old enough that I came from that school age where you did mechanical drawing, you know, in high school, and I showed an aptitude for that. I actually went to, I studied architecture at Kansas State University and graduated there and then worked in Wichita for Kansas for a while before moving out here to New
what
Mexico.
What brought you to Albuquerque? I mean, this is, some people think it's the end of the world.
It's kind of interesting. My grandmother, she'd tell me to be careful out there when I left the country. I always said, well, Grandma, you know, New Mexico is still in the country.
I know. A lot of people think
and, no, I came out here. I actually transferred out here with the company that I work for in Wichita. They had a sister office here. I transferred out here but for the climate, you know, for a lot of reasons people come out here. The climate, you know, the drier weather, the sunshine, the mountains, you know, a lot
of... Well, you know, we probably have the highest percentage of military retirement people in Albuquerque because they serve in the Air Force, they go through Kirtland, and they serve all around the world, and they go, man, when I retire, I'm going back there. Boy, we got a bunch of retired military people here. And having myself grown up in Texas, where the humidity is 75-80% a lot of times, and the mosquitoes are big as poodles, I'm glad to be here in the dry weather with no mosquitoes and beautiful scenery, you know.
No, you and me both, brother. We enjoyed it. And my wife, interestingly enough, she moved out here for the same reason. She had come out here for a vacation or something. She loved the climate, loved the mountains.
Yeah.
And so, you know, she and I had to have that a lot in common. We came out because we love New Mexico.
Well, tell me about procedure of architecture, drawing. It's a lot different today than it was when you were in college, isn't it? Just the way you do it?
Yeah, actually, interestingly enough, you still were hand drafting back in those days.
Yeah.
And now, you know, I've been doing this so long that I go right from the brain into the computer. You know, I'll visualize a design in my head and actually put it in there. But, you know, relationships is everything. And being able to, you know, being able to work with churches and be on the same side of the table as them. And what I mean by that is this. Instead of being someone that they've hired on the opposite side of the table, I am in ministry. I've been in building programs with churches. I've been in churches that were in a remodeled space, that went portable, that looked to buy some land, that looked to build something. I've been involved in that. I've been in their shoes, you know, and they and people, you know, people see that and they respond to that. So, you know, being able to work with churches like that and relate to them and say, hey, we're in this together, and I understand exactly where you're coming from the standpoint of budgets and programs and where is God leading our church. You know, we go on that journey together to see where God leads, and I'm not interested in pushing a personal agenda or getting published or getting any notoriety. I'm just interested in living out my life verse and serving them in that respect. And so, but to answer your question, those ideas, and we put them right into the computer immediately. And with internet networking cloud storage and everybody being able to access that, it's a pretty seamless process with engineers now and all of the consultants that are involved, because they all access one database and all I have to do is hold the reins and keep the wagons moving forward, you know. So it's much more streamlined than it used to be. It is certainly much, much more so, as it is probably in any business, because communication is just so much faster now.
You mentioned publishing. I know you've written a fiction book. Tell us about that.
Yeah. Again, 1 Peter 4:10, use whatever gifts, right? Well, I was inspired to write an end times story. And the twist on this one is that it's kind of a high-tech in time story. So it's like distant future. So it's interesting to see where technology is taking us. And the book, you know, the hero of the book, he's living this end times, living in the end times here.
And the name of the book?
It's called Last Chance.
Okay.
And, you know, it has a great salvation story in it. It has a great love story for ladies who would like to read a book like that. And without giving too much of the book away, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, no one knows when the end time's coming. And, the surprise of it is kind of what's addressed in that book. And it's interesting. And with the high-tech twist, I will give away a little bit that as technology progresses, there's still bugs in that technology. You know, there's still bugs in that technology. And it's kind of funny that even though that the technology is more advanced in this book, it's just so funny that some of that technology has glitches in it. You can relate to that, you know.
Even in the future,
you know, your phone doesn't work or this doesn't,
well,
or something.
It's like, you know, Microsoft has quit supporting XP, the software that probably most people are using today. That's what we're using here at the radio station. And since they don't support it anymore, I'm just waiting for the day for it to crash. What are we going to do?
Yeah. It is. You don't want to put your faith in it. You know, put your faith in God, because that technology will. It's only here for a little bit.
Boy, that's the truth. Well, Joe, we're just about out of time. What do you see in the future for your industry?
Well, generally speaking, we're on a growth curve again. You know, here in 2014, where the economy is trickling back. We have great leaders. Rio Rancho had a great new mayor. We have a wonderful city council. We have a wonderful governor, and we have a lot of pro-growth leaders. And I certainly see for our area that I'm enthusiastic about it. I was cautiously enthusiastic for a while, and I've transitioned to enthusiastic. We are growing. We have wonderful location. We will become one of the fastest growing cities again, I'm sure, and I'm really excited about it. You know, I think that as buildings become more efficient and use less energy and the technology is incorporated in those buildings a lot more, there's the potential for glitches, of course. Sure. But I think the positive aspects is going to far outweigh. And you know, I think churches. You know, there sometimes churches say, well, let's be portable and let's stay loose. But I have noticed that people tend to want to have a home to go to. They want to have a consistent place that they can go to each week to hear the word, to fellowship with their friends, to bring their children to. And I fully believe that churches are, whether they start making campuses around, I still think that they're going to build permanent structures to be in. And, of course, I'm the first person to say to a building committee that church has nothing to do with the building. We all know that. I mean, Saddleback, there's so many examples of churches that have proved that you don't have to. You need something to keep the rain off your head. That you can preach the word. But it is nice for people. I've seen. You know, I've been doing this 20 years, and I do see a trend that people like to have a consistent place to go to, whether it's a tent in a park or whether it's a building that you've put together. They like to have a place that they call home, or a church home and a church family that they can fellowship with. And I don't see that changing anytime soon.
No, and are metal buildings cheaper to build than your block and mortar buildings?
They are. They certainly are. They are the most efficient way I have found to get space. And you can stucco those buildings. You can do interesting colors with them. Yeah. They don't have to be just your regular old barns that people tend to think. You can. I work with metal building companies and come up with interesting roofs that intersect each other and nice covered entries and covered portales around it to where it is a dynamic, interesting looking building that just happens to be made out of metal building components, and it does save the owner money.
And they're strong.
Yeah, they're engineered. Yeah, you bet.
Well, Joe Simons, God bless you, brother. I'm so glad I got to meet you and fly with you to Santa Fe. And we'll stay in touch, okay?
Yeah, God bless you too, brother. Thanks for having me.
All right, that's our program for this weekend. I'll see you Monday through Friday right here on KKIM with the morning news. Haley Comets at 7:30 in the morning, 5:30 in the afternoon. You have a blessed weekend. I'm Frank Haley, CJF.